In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord, we take a moment to ponder the Father's gaze upon us. Resting in the embrace of the Father who calls us home. We ask for your blessing today. As we continue the journey in our own healing, which is becoming more and more like you. We know, Lord, that your healing never ends. It must be lived. We pray for the grace to live in that healing. So you would stir up your spirit that you have given us, gifted to us in baptism and anointed and sealed in our confirmation. That your Holy Spirit would enlighten our minds and enliven our hearts. That we would live in your freedom. And you would bring a healing to our faith, that we would actively trust in you and the good work you're doing, and you would bring a healing to our hope, that we would see you on the horizon and run to you, that you would bring healing to our love, that we would love you despite our imperfections and with our imperfections. That we would come to you as we are. And in that place, love you and be loved by you. And we recognize that in this moment that you see each of us. You hear each of us. That we are known by you. We ask for the grace to know you. In the depths of who we are. And we pray all these things through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Russ. Big shout out to Russ. Let's give him a round of applause. Woo!
You guys, you're the ones that stuck in. Taking notes. It's been a long journey for you guys. So way to go.
Yeah, so... thank you all for being here, and thank you, Russ, for supporting me and your staff for making this a possibility. It's really beautiful to have had these classes here at St. Helens. You know, not every church has classes like this that want to go deep, and so it's a grace to be encouraged in that by the staff when I first got here. Russ and all the staff encouraging me to share just this healing that I've experienced in my life, and it's been such a profound thing to see it come alive in the hearts of so many people here at St. Helens. And then it's been a beautiful blessing for me these last couple months to see how the Lord has been changing each of your hearts as you've come each month. And it's one of the greatest blessings as a spiritual father, just like a dad with his kids, to see, you know, one's child, you're my spiritual children, come alive in the truth of who you are as beloved sons and daughters. And I know it's been difficult and challenging at times, but it's been beautiful to see the Lord work in your lives and all that the Lord's doing and is still going to be doing even after class today. So thank you for that. Yeah, so today is kind of a wrap-up. We're not going to be covering a specific sacrament today, but kind of recognizing and reflecting on all that God has been doing in our life this last, I think it's been 8 months now, 9 months now, a class every month, and noticing how God has slowly but surely been revealing himself to us in a new way through seeing the sacraments for what they truly are, which is not these empty rituals that we do, but really actually moments of particular and specific encounters with Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and who reveals to us in each sacrament the truth of who we are, because he is the perfect man. He reveals to us what it means to be free in each of the graces that he provides through each sacrament that specifically heals one of the deep wounds of our hearts. So it's really important in our life. I don't know if any of you guys, are any of y'all familiar with the spiritual practice of praying the examine at the end of the day? Do y'all, as I say the examine, are any of y'all familiar with that? I know it's been taught in some of the classes before. It's basically end of the day where you review your day and give thanks for what God has done during the day and moments of His grace active. So today is kind of an examine of our year together and a time for us to reflect on what has God revealed and who are we now as opposed to what were we before, and in doing that, clinging to the truths that are revealed in that transformation as we look back on our life. It's interesting, when we go through change in our life, we're so busy in our life, so often we don't take the time to savor the change and savor the truths that we've received in our life, to savor the healing that God's done. And when we don't take the time to savor it and cling to it and mature in it, so push into it in our life and ask that it would become everything that we are and everything that we live out of, so often the evil one has a chance to, as time passes, then very easily come back into those old wounds in our life and present to us those same old lies that we believed before. So what the evil one wants to do after this class is over today is come back into our life and slowly but surely pull us back away from these truths that we've received about what the sacraments really are, the truths about who we know God is in a new way as a loving Father, and Jesus as our intimate friend who redeems us through the sacraments in our life, who's constantly pouring out of His grace, and also ways in which the evil one wants to make us forget also the ways in which we've discovered ourselves in a new way, the truth of who we are and our new identity in Him through the sacraments. So that's what we're going to essentially be doing today. So we might end early knowing the Holy Spirit. We may not. we'll see what the Lord has in store. But before I start, like always, I want to just get a sense of how you guys are doing. So as I always do, how was the last month? Last month we talked about the final sacrament, which was the anointing of the sick, and how the anointing of the sick heals wounds of hopelessness, reminding us of God's fortifying power in the midst of suffering, His capacity to heal us, you know, if it's His will. And then finally, the ultimate hope we have, which is total communion, total freedom from pain, death, suffering in heaven with the Lord. So how's your last month been? Anyone want to share any kind of experience, anything where the Lord allowed you to abide in that truth of hope after our class? Yeah.
This class has been a good remembrance of how important the sacraments are to our faith, because it's always important for me to receive Holy Communion and penance as often as possible, because I learned in Catholic school we got the grace, sanctifying grace, to keep helping us be better people. Mm-hmm. And that's why receiving the sacraments is important to me. During the last month, my brother-in-law that I asked y'all to pray for did pass away last month.
Sure.
So it's been hard for my sister. She has faith, and she's had people around her to sustain her in her loss. And so I'm glad that he doesn't have to suffer anymore. And it was a good reunion with the family to remember him. So thank y'all for y'all prayers.
Yeah. Yeah, so just like many of us in our life, directly encountering that wound of hopelessness when we see death in our own family, someone close to us, and having to ask very naturally through the struggle during that time, okay, Lord, help me to believe those three truths, that all things come to fulfillment in the resurrection, that You're with me in this suffering as I grieve the loss of this family member, that, Lord, You're desiring to heal me and be with us in the midst of that. So, yeah, thank You for sharing. Absolutely. Yeah.
I have an older sister that develops fluid on the brain, and a month ago she didn't wake up, and when I spoke to her a week later, one-on-one, she said that she had hoped she'd have died. She was unhappy that she woke up. And I said, well, when's your time? I don't know what to tell you. Very depressed, that she woke up. So, we just have to pray for her and get over it.
Sure. Yeah, and it sounds like as you share, there's still, obviously, I mean, even as you share, we all kind of feel that hopelessness of where she's at, you know. Yeah, and it's so tough in our life when we're confronted with those things from the people we love most, who we believe these truths up here, but when we're confronted with someone's experience of hopelessness, it's very hard to witness to that truth, because that's what's real to them in that moment. In the midst of their suffering, they truly feel abandoned. They feel it's better that they're not here. You know, the lie seems so real to them in that moment. And how do we in that moment, a lot of time, sometimes we're allowed the place to be able to try and speak truth to that. But a lot of time it's just being with people in the suffering and letting our presence be a healing balm to people's hopelessness, so that they see in us those three things that God wants to do. You know, that He's with them, fortifying them through our presence, that we have hope that God can heal them if they want, and then really just confidence that, okay, God, you know, help me to be a witness that this is your daughter, this is your son, that their soul is yours, and yeah, that their fulfillment's going to be in heaven. Yeah, sure. But you're still kind of in the middle of that, it sounds like, right? Yeah. Were you here last month when we had the class on?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you feel that, and I'm being very personal, so feel free to say, I'm not at a place to answer that, but did you feel like you had anything from the class to offer in that moment, or just kind of to fall back on in the midst of just feeling that with her?
Because I didn't feel bad after talking to her.
Yeah.
And I was hoping that after speaking with her, that she maybe felt a little bit better, because she had lost her husband back in December. So I said, well, Patsy, maybe that's part of your depression, the combination of both things. Mm-hmm. He wasn't here to help you through it this time.
Sure.
Oh, yes. Most definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting when we're someone who's close to someone who's going through that, notice how so often the hopelessness and despair that they're experiencing becomes a part of our life because we love that person, you know. It's really the experience of like Mary and Martha when their brother Lazarus dies, you know. Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. You know, there's that sense of like, I know, Lord, that you have the power, but yet this is the reality, you know. And Jesus, in that moment, speaking the truth of, you know, do you believe, you know, and trust that I'm the loving Father. I had thank you for sharing. Yeah. Anyone else want to share from the last month?
Without getting into the details of it, a recent hopeless situation, and I was really feeling hopeless, mm-hmm. and in despair. And I read in the Magnificat the psalm for that day, which was Psalm 71, and it said, whatever bitter afflictions you sent me, you would turn and revive me. And all I can say is that it felt like divine intervention, because the despair turned to being revived. And it was like a screen just passed, and there was a new screen, and the despair ended with just that phrase.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah, and it's amazing how truth in a moment of despair can help us. I was actually with my parents yesterday. They came down on my day off, and I was just sharing with them just some struggle, feeling a little tired in my ministry. It's been a long year, and my vacation's coming up in 2 weeks, so I'm feeling that and looking forward to that. And I was sharing kind of the experience of just hopelessness in my own spirit, just the heaviness of all that I do and stuff. And, you know, like I should be, you know, sharing with those who can love me and support me. And my dad and my mom were just encouraging me and loving me like they always do. And one of the last things my dad said to me was just, let Jesus love you unconditionally like he does, and then let that love re-inspire you to offer that unconditional love to your flock, you know. And that was a beautiful moment of truth for me, where it was like, once again, the lie of you're alone, just push through it, you know, like you're like you can't do it, you know, the overwhelmingness of the emotions I was feeling, you know, just natural tiredness and stuff, was changed in my heart with that once again nugget of truth that reminds me who God is and my identity and the hope that I have, and he's not going to give me anything I can't handle, and it's really him doing it. And so I had a very similar experience as well. Thanks for sharing. Yeah, Kitsu.
I'm really experiencing that when we share our experiences, the good, the bad, the high, the pain, the sufferings with others, it's a way for us to say, this is how Jesus is present in my life, yes, but it also gives them a little inkling and a little nugget that when you face this, here's an option for you for how you can handle it. Because some of the things that I've been sharing with people, unfortunately in front of a microphone, people come up to me later and say, thank you for sharing that, because I just faced something similar to that, and I could draw on what you shared, how Jesus helped you.
Yeah.
And I was like, because people are always like, oh, I don't know enough about my faith, so I should keep my mouth shut. But our experience with Jesus and the Holy Spirit is everything to us. It can also be everything to someone else. So sharing these sad, burdensome times is important right now, because we see the chaos in the world. It's from not sharing.
Yeah.
It's
and
from not helping people.
Yeah, and Kitsy brings up a powerful point that is really something beautiful for us to kind of remember as we're wrapping up our classes, that it's interesting, in the midst of our woundedness, wounds tend to link up and connect with each other. So in the midst of hopelessness, we also feel powerless. You know, we also feel kind of confused. We also feel rejected and abandoned. So the wounds of our life tend to lock up, and they ultimately drive us to a place of isolation, first from God, then from ourselves, and then from others. And it's interesting, the healing powers of the sacraments are also that way, to where when we start to enter into the truth of one sacrament, it starts to heal other areas. So, okay, as I start to, you know, abide in hope, and I'm willing to share it, share my woundedness, all of a sudden, now I'm experiencing the communion of the Eucharist, and now I feel the power of people around me supporting me and encouraging me, and the power of God with me. And now, okay, I know the clarity of God, you're with me, and I see it in the people who are supporting me. And yeah, now we're all sharing our mutual woundedness, coming underneath the healing power of the only one who can save, who is Jesus, and Jesus heals. So the truth of healing being communal, and all the sacraments being communal. A lot of time we think it's like this sacrament that I'm just receiving, it's my confirmation, it's my baptism, but really God using that to heal that one person, but really through that one person, all people. So that's a beautiful way, yeah. Very true. Uh-huh. Yeah, over here.
So, I'll add to yours and give you thanks again, like the many people have, for what you said a little bit ago. Monday night, adoration, and then we came here and had the nice food and everything, and she stood up and talked about some burden that she's been carrying for years and years, and 20 years or something, 40 years.
It's your life.
And, yeah. And so when I left here, I actually went somewhere pleasant, be alone. And I never thought about it before. I had something holding for 22 years. So, you know, I just said, hey, can you lift it up like you lifted up the kitchen?
Yeah.
And so it was bad enough.
Sure.
Gave him a nickname because I didn't want to call him by name, because if you call him by name, that's personal, right? So his nickname went Bully. So the other day when I did talk to somebody about it, I actually said his name, and I felt a relief. So thank you. Because we don't think about stuff that happened 20, 30 years ago to release it inside of it. I mostly think of present things, really.
Yeah, and notice how this class, you know, has been, and it's always a unique experience too, that the healing is about the class in the sense of a lot of it is about the content, but really it's lived out when we take that content into our families, into our relationship, into our church and start living it. You guys have probably experienced that over the last couple months, not only getting to talk about maybe some of these things with yourself, but then taking them into your small groups and into your own families. You know, once again, our faith and healing being incarnational, it has to be lived out in our life. It's really an encounter with Jesus in our life. So all these are amazing, powerful, good points for us to remember that these healing realities are not things that God just gives to each and every one of you individually, but actually ways in which He's given them to you to have healing and then share them within your families, within our church, to really transform our church. We're all kind of given a unique responsibility to share what we've received. So these are all beautiful sharings. Thank you guys for sharing how the last month has been for you guys. So if you guys remember, you guys are doing awesome. So I want to kind of just review just very briefly where we started out, that just so we kind of see that reality. And then I want to specifically ask some questions so you guys can start thinking about it, because I know some people need a little bit of time to process the question. So in a second here, I'm going to ask some questions about now as opposed to when you started. How do you view the sacraments differently now than as opposed to 9 months ago? Also, how do you see your relationship with Jesus different now than 9 months ago? And then last but not least, how do you see the way you see yourself differently than you did 9 months ago? So I'm going to ask those three questions here in a minute or two. So if you need time, you can start processing that, because those are once again the deep questions of what really has been the fruit of our time together. So as we talked about in our first class together, we talked about how healing's a process, it's not an event. So once again, it's this reality of receiving the truths of God in our heart. First, God bringing up the places of woundedness, the lies, the ways in which we've vowed to not live in the truth of who we are, and kind of through the experiences of our life of pain, we've come to believe that we're not beloved sons or daughters of God, and we've experienced those wounds of abandonment, rejection, confusion, shame, the seven ones that the seven sacraments heal. So we've been going through these last 7 months asking God to kind of slowly walk with us, revealing who He is and then who we truly are. If you remember from the first class, I talked about how our life is really like an onion, where so often we present to the world this outer layer, and then God, in His process of healing, peels those layers back and helps us see how we truly see ourselves, and then heals that deep place of our heart to where we then are comfortable with revealing that part of our heart at a deeper place. So it's this reality of, yeah, being willing to be vulnerable, being willing to express the deeper places of the wounds of our life that have been redeemed by the truth of Jesus. And then to really be authentic in our relationships with others, first in our relationship with Jesus. You know, Jesus, this is really how I feel. This is really how I see myself. I'm no longer going to keep you at an arm's distance, but I'm going to actually invite you into the depth of my heart. The sacraments being so important to that, them being these moments where I actually invite you to encounter who I truly am down here, as opposed to just out here. You know, when we have the sacraments out here, they're just the empty rituals. I just come to the Mass, do the things, you know, put on the nice Catholic face, shake a couple hands, and then have some donuts, and then go home, as opposed to true sacramentality, which transforms the inner heart, because I'm engaging with Jesus, allowing Him to touch the depth of my pain, my woundedness, my doubts, my fears, letting Him speak His love there in His truth, and then in receiving that truth and healing, then trying to live from that truth in my life with maturity, with vulnerability, with grace. So once again, in that process, we went, in that process, it's those three questions. So what did I believe the sacraments were before? What did I believe who Jesus was in my life? And then who did I believe I was? And then afterward, what are really the sacraments? Who really is Jesus in my life? And then how do I see myself? So let's do the first question about a way you saw the sacraments before, but that how it's that that's changed in your life. Anyone have any anything to share?
Two things I would maybe say is that one is just changing the viewpoint from seeing the sacraments as those events, but from that to seeing them as just an ongoing process. And the other thing would be to seeing how to see the community in them as opposed to, you know, this is my event, my family. Whereas, you know, this is the whole church celebrating.
Yeah. The whole church and all of humanity. God's actually, he obviously does it in the Catholic Church, but he's actually yearning to, through the church, sanctify the world because it's the whole world who's wounded. Absolutely. Awesome. Yeah, in the back.
Okay, so I know that being a part of the Eucharistic ministry that I'm able to engage more at Mass. So I'm able to also be asked, or they put out the word, you know, we need help. Confirmation, we need help for the first Holy Communicant. Yeah, so I'm able to see all the children go up, or adults even, and see how they receive each of the sacraments and the power that goes into it. Where before I didn't really notice it, especially a lot younger or when I was a kid, you know, I never thought about it. I thought it was something we had to do because we were Catholic. That's
yeah.
Who we are, that's what we do. That's what defines us. And I thought that's not really what defines us, though.
Sure.
That it's the truth, and they see that. They've been prepared for those sacramentals, and now I can see it kind of like kids growing up. That's the way it looks to me when they receive their sacraments.
Sure.
I can see that in their whole demeanor, in their persona. It changes when they go up.
Yeah, so it sounds like you noticing in a greater way, yeah, the power of the moment of the sacrament in the kids you've been working with and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. Have any of y'all, and I'll still take more answers, but have any of y'all noticed that over the last couple of months that now, like, the sacraments that you've been doing over the last couple of months are no longer just these events or these stale, stagnant things, but actually relational? Have any of y'all noticed that? Or communal? It was described as communal. Have any of y'all noticed that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I went to a baptismal not too long ago, and the priest asked the questions to the community. I think there are three questions that when we say, I do, and you really, really mean it, and you're not just saying it because of your faith, but because of what's going on in your heart and what you know about Jesus. Same thing with the Holy Communion. He is there, and I want him in my heart. I want him to go with me. I want him not to abandon me. And to help, I have no problem sharing my life. But my daughter, she's going through all these wounds, and I always ask Jesus, help me say the right thing to her. Holy Spirit, come and say, let me say the right thing to her. Sometimes there's no solution to the problem, but it's just good that she can come to her parents and let go. And then I take that to the Lord. Whatever she said, I take it to the Lord. I give it to him. I give it to Mary. I let go. Because before, I wanted to solve it. It just comes. It comes into the issue. It comes to the lap more and she's trying to solve it. So I let her talk and let her talk and let her talk and let it dump, a big dump. And so then I just give it to the Lord. And then the next day, 24 hours later, it's like a 180 degree. And she's much better. She's got a better outlook. But it's a constant thing because I know it's the evil one who's always trying to get into the young, especially to the young, because they're so vulnerable with everything that's out there. But what I wish she knew what I knew now, so it could be a lot easier, but it's all in God's due time. And that's the other three words that I get when I go to adoration, in due time. And he does fulfill our request. He does, in due time.
Beautiful.
But it's an ongoing thing, and it's an ongoing process, like mm-hmm. she's saying. And then you go back to these sacraments, And you have, and I learned that you have another angel. Besides our guardian angel, we have an angel for matrimony. You have an angel for being a priest. So we can also call our guardian angels, you know, to help us.
Mm-hmm.
You have yours too. No, we don't know who they are. It just happens. Everybody's assigned one. So there's all these, and that's what I've learned. Reading something that just comes to you, and that's what I needed to hear.
Yeah.
And then, it's like the burden's gone. Whether it was from a friend, from reading, I'm going on and on. But
sure. Yeah, you mentioned some powerful points there, and first, obviously, just the witness of your sharing of how God's transformed your life, and just want to highlight maybe a couple of things. Yeah, you said that before, when you went to the sacraments, it was almost like a place of control or wanting God to do things. Or, you know, it's interesting, so often the sacraments, and oftentimes it was the way we were taught, that the sacraments are the ways in which we kind of use grace against God. So it's ways in which we earn love, like we like earn God's love. It's a way we, like, you know, okay, God, if I'm good enough, if I'm a good enough Catholic, then you'll love me, as opposed to a place where we come and have to surrender and trust, and then through the trust, trusting in God as the loving Father, He then has the gateway to truly transform our heart and help us to believe the truths that are connected to each sacrament. So in the midst of, because there's wounds around each of those sacraments, you know, the fear around matrimony, then, you know, the shame that's healed by reconciliation, the disunity that's healed by the Eucharist, and each of those sacraments, for the Lord to work, has to be a place where we come before Him and surrender. That's the power of prayer. That's the power of community, true community, coming together in vulnerability and sharing and saying, God, you have to do it, and help me to know that in the truth of who I am. So thank you beautifully for sharing. Anyone else want to share on view of the sacraments before and after?
I've always believed in the sacraments, which I normally do teach and I love them. But being a caregiver now completely has changed my life, you know, because we were so independent in a relationship. And since my husband has been very ill and everything, I firmly believe in the faith, hope, and love that I dearly love. And I plaster it all over to give me, you know. I am always outspoken, but my husband is kind of conservative. He keeps it in, and then he brings it out a little bit. So I kind of just stop pushing, so I just listen. And I'm not good at listening because I always want to say what I want to say. But in my relationship with my husband and his illnesses, we cry, we pray, and we have our faith, and especially our love for the God and a Sacred Heart. And I have my saints, and everybody goes marching in one by one. So I've learned his type of giving. He can't do much, and I do the other half. And so we have to share, you know. So he says, can you cut my food? And I said, okay, my meats and all that. I said, okay. And he says, well, what can I do for you? And I have to think, you know, that so he can be involved too.
Yeah.
So I give and share. And then my hope is that he's still alive. I still have him no matter what, you know, take care of him. And my love for him has always been there. So I'm learning in the process that I can have a friend like Jesus. But his mother, I cling to her mostly because of what she went through. And why can't I just sweat, you know, what he tells me? Sometimes I feel very low, and because he doesn't want anybody else to take care of him, and it kind of drains you in a way. But I always ask the Blessed Mother to hang on to me like she hang on to seeing her son, and I think about the passion and the resurrection that would come to him whenever his due time or my time, eternal life, is something that we talk about a lot. And so he's come out so much, and I'm so proud of him and myself. Because you can work it out. You can, you know, continue.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, so seeing God active in the midst of the difficulties, yeah, in your marriage is beautiful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Sure. Yeah, you have something real quick, Steve?
Hmm?
relative to confirmation,
uh-huh.
and the opposite of an in-depth appreciation for the sacrament. This is the opposite, but it still works, I guess, is my point here. Our granddaughter's confirmation, big HEB center with 5,000 others, you know, and just all very mechanical. And my wife had to take her phone away as she went in. You're not taking that in there.
Yeah.
Why? Yes, I am. You know, that kind of thing. And so she was very upset.
Yeah.
On the way back, our windshield was broken. It was just a mess.
Oh, my goodness.
A mess. But the power of the sacrament does not depend upon how we feel about it, or if the Holy Spirit is at work, even in ways that we feel just like, what's happening here? Like, anyway, that's my point. It's the Holy Spirit is at work, and
the sacrament
is changing hearts and minds.
Yeah, two things I want to share based on what you shared. Thank you, Steve. It's interesting. The definition of a sacrament is a visible sign of an invisible transformation of grace. So it's a visible thing that's happening that's revealing the interior transformation that God's doing. Of course, that can only happen if the heart is open to the true grace that is being bestowed. So we talked about that during our classes, that why aren't people transformed? Why aren't we seeing miracles? Why aren't we seeing the church alive? It's because we, once again, don't have hearts open to receive that particular grace that God's desiring to give us. You know, we don't believe it. And it's ways in which we don't believe God as a loving Father. That's why we can't receive those graces right there, because of the wounds and the lies of our life. So it's interesting. A lot of time... in our culture today, the reason I think sacraments are not powerful is that first reason, which is that people are just viewing the sacraments as empty events, you know, that don't really have interior grace, so they don't really believe that God has the power to transform them in power through their confirmation, or once again, because of the wounds of our life, we don't believe that. And then, or the other way around, they seek that grace in the world, that basically that power in other ways, through other visible signs, you know, that are false, basically idols. So, you know, God, you can't give me that power, so I'll find that power in this relationship, or I'll find that in these goods, you know, or I'll find the clarity I need somewhere else. A bunch of you shared about our youth nowadays who are trapped in that. It's interesting. We live in a culture where everything is a commodity, even the technological culture. It's an information age where I can possess everything, even information. And it doesn't require an act of the will for me to engage in it, because I can just look at everything and take it all in. I don't have to give anything in return. And I think that's a big reason why our youth struggle to come alive in the sacraments, because that's the condition they're coming from. So they view the sacraments as the same thing. It's something I just receive and I don't have to engage in. You know, it's a commodity. You know, it's an event. You know, so it's the party after the confirmation, or it's the checkbox I have to make, you know. And so in our life, how do we witness to this fact that the sacraments are actually relational and transformational? And as grandparents and as parents, how do we witness and call on that truth? And how do we show that through our own witness of our life, talking about how the confirmations have transformed us? After Mass, do we go home and share about how the homily specifically spoke to us and why, and how it connected to a specific thing in our life with our kids or our grandkids? Do we go home and ask our grandkids what they thought of the Mass, and what specifically they thought, or what did you specifically bring to the Mass to pray for today? Once again, all these things which are ways in which we help those who don't have an idea of the relational aspect of sacraments to engage in that, to start to engage in it, instead of just keeping God the stiff arm, you know. It's just a ritual, you know. So, great point. And it's not just kids, of course. Even when we get older, we get numbed over time to just think this is what it is. And so God oftentimes breaks that, even when we're more advanced in years. Yeah?
I just want to say this. I miss the Latin Mass. I grew up in the orphanage and convent. I miss it. But I was away from the church for a long time because I had a mixed marriage and my husband passed away. I was so glad to be able to come back. And everything was English, you know. But when you say the Mass, Father, and you chant, it's beautiful. I just want to give you that. And I'm used to come to the 6 o'clock Mass because I knew you were going to be there and you were going to chant. And one time you said in church, you said, all these people that are here late or something, I thought, no, I've got to let you know it was you chanting. But when you chant, it's like I'm still back in the Latin, but only now I can understand it more. Thank you.
Thank you for that affirmation. Appreciate that. Thank you, guys. I want to move on to the next question real quick. So thank you guys for sharing. This is beautiful once again, just sharing once again what God's done in our lives. So the second question was, what did you believe about Jesus in your life before that has changed through your encounter with Him in the sacraments, through realizing who He truly is, as we've talked about each sacrament and what He's trying to do in each one? Specifically around your relationship with Him. So try and be specific in your response. Anyone have anything to share?
Can I just say one more thing?
Sure, and then we'll go to the back here. Yeah, go
the
ahead.
The deacon's homily Saturday when St. John Paul II was coming into church, and the security dogs went up to the altar and they sat there. They were human sniffing dogs that would hurt the Pope after he was shot. And they just went up to the sanctuary and they just sat there because Jesus was in the tabernacle. Yeah. It was so beautiful. You know, that's all I'm going to say. Thank
that's
you.
Good. Amen. Yeah. In the she mentioned the homily from this last weekend, Deacon Mike preaching about a story of St. John Paul II. They had human sniffing dogs who would accompany him after the assassination attempt. And they had them go in one time into one of the chapels where St. John Paul II was going to be at to pray to see if anyone was hiding anywhere to basically assassinate him. And there was no one in the church. And the dogs are trained basically to go to a place if they sense a human and sit down basically and point like a pointer dog. And they went through the whole church, and then they all came up into the sanctuary right in front of the tabernacle and sat down pointing at the tabernacle where Jesus was. Just the power of that. Yeah, the truth of Jesus always being there for us here and in the Adoration Chapel. And once again, the relationality that it's really Him who's at work, you know, in our life. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, so kind of the communal aspect of Jesus being alive in your life and seeing that with others, kind of sharing humanity.
Look at it if I got cut up in traffic or something, if they know. Okay.
He's teaching me patience, or if he wants me to have temperance, or there's something, some little gift that I'm receiving. And instead of being really upset over it, I have somebody to share this with. You know, I'm alone in my car, I'm not really alone. Right? So if I'm walking my dog down the street, or if I'm driving someplace and by myself,
yeah, that communion with Jesus.
Communion,
yeah.
Exactly. And it's like I have this person with me all the time. So I can also share something good instead of it, oh God, you told me it's like, oh.
Yeah. And you're with me, and thank you. Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you. Uh huh.
Hopefully this stays in line with what we're doing. Did anybody see the New York City high wire?
Yes, it was awesome.
Right, so the brother sister did this high wire on Times Square, and what I was watching, and I remember 24 minutes of being on this high wire way up there.
Yeah.
So the brother and the sister act, and the sister fell, I believe, and hurt herself years ago, okay? Somebody said broke a lot of bones in her face, and she looked very pretty up there, but she's good. But where I'm going with this was, while she was doing this, she was singing gospel songs, little bits of it. She was talking to Jesus. Her brother and her had a mic and a earphones that they can communicate so many feet, you know, all the way across, so he could hear everything she was saying. And where I'm going with this was, she talked to Jesus so many times, you know, this is what you made me to do. This is what I am to do. Guide me through this, be with me, and just very powerful. And I'm thinking to myself, as much as I want Jesus to hear her and that he's present with her, why wouldn't I want that much for myself too, you know? I really wanted this for her, and to believe that Jesus is walking with her and holding her hand. It's like, wow, that's very powerful.
Yeah.
Sure. So yeah. I just felt like, you know, that was her.
Yeah, and
I loved it that it was on the TV too, with everybody watching, you know, seeing that she's... that we do have a Jesus to pray to.
Sure. And once again, to kind of bring it back to the question, so in your life through these classes and through the sacraments, do you feel that that's been your experience with Jesus, kind of a closer nature?
Yeah, closer now, because I'm like, wow, how much do I want this for her, you know? And yeah. I'm so excited for her. I feel closer with that too. Yeah, because just thinking that makes me know that there is a Jesus to believe in. Yeah, he's not going to hear all our mumble jumble all the time that we whine about, but he knows what's going on before we even say anything. So.
Yeah, and so much of our healing is about being willing to authentically let God stir up our desires for the fullness and the wholeness which we're created to embody, and letting it kind of be shifted up from the lies and the numbness of our lives and the ways we've been hurt, and then to ask for it, and then to engage it, and to ask God to help us to trust Him again to transform our life. That's what we've been talking about with each of these sacraments, is He's been shifting up the places where we don't trust Him. Okay, Jesus, even though I don't trust You here, I desire to trust You. And so receive me here. Help me to trust. Help me to know the truth. Absolutely. Good. Anyone else want to share specifically about, once again, their encounter with Jesus with these classes over the last couple months? Let's go right here with Kitsy. Uh-huh.
So I've gone from looking at Jesus as the big instructor, the big boss, you know, up against the wall, running him, to he's the good shepherd. And I'm part of the flock, and it's like, okay, you're guiding me gently, you don't have to grab me and, you know, yank me back into the flock, I'm kind of following along, yeah. And it came to fruition during communion one Saturday evening. We didn't have a deacon, so left bread moved up to be the deacon bread, and I got to be the left bread. And before I got to Mass that night, I was really toasty with my daughter, trying to fix it. And you should be, and I was like, so I got to church, I'm like, okay, I'm going to park that away for a while and just be here, be with my Lord. He's going to tell me what to do. The big boss is going to instruct. We're given, we're receiving in communion. And any time you get to go up there and do that, and the lights at the altar and everything, it's so bright white, everything's a little shinier than when you're sitting in the pew. It's just like, oh, and of course then when you're singing and chanting, it's like, close your eyes, you could be at the Vatican, you know, it's just beautiful up there around the altar. So we go out and we're giving communion, and I try to do it the way Monsignor Pavlicek did it, where it's very slow, you know, holds up the Eucharist, blocks your face with the Eucharist, so that everyone's looking at the Eucharist, and then after they say amen, you put it in their hand or on the tongue, whatever. I'm standing there just, yep, going through the routine, very slowly, very trying to be very conscious, and then all of a sudden I feel the presence of Jesus saying, look, you're helping tend my flock. Look, you're helping my people. I'm working on your daughter, and you're helping these others. You're helping them see me, be with me, come closer to me. And I was almost weeping tears into the ciborium at the end of it. I was just like, oh, man.
Yeah. So Jesus showing you how he's present with you in your unique ministry, and specifically through your baptism there, and the power of the Eucharist to give of yourself and to feed
and
his people.
And people keep coming to him. And I was just like, we are all connected.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thanks for sharing. Yeah.
And then I went home and it wasn't about my daughter anymore. In my prayer after, I'm like, Lord, she's yours, buddy. I'm retired.
Weren't he all at the 6 p.m. Mass this last Sunday? Let's see.
No.
No? Yeah, we have one. Yeah, I had a very powerful experience at the Mass Corpus Christi. I kind of broke down a little bit and was weeping a little bit during the Eucharist because of I had a very powerful moment too during the Eucharist of just feeling the Lord loving his people, and specifically in the midst of their burdens, and just the power of his love for them there, and for myself. So it's incredible how the Lord works there. And reminds us of those truths through different experiences in our life. Yeah. And specifically for me, it was through, in the middle of the Mass, intentionally engaging with the things that are going on inside. So just like a priest, just like you guys in the pews, how in the middle of Mass, like, you're focusing, but then, like, you're thinking about the grocery list you got to do, and then about your daughter, and then about this, and, you know. So even though I'm doing a lot more stuff, it happens to me too in Father Will, where once again the Mass kind of becomes routine and I get pulled off and then I have to come back. And particularly it's interesting as a priest, you know, I get to see all you guys in the pews, and so I get to see, you know, like the little things of people not getting up their spots for other people, or people not being welcome to come into the church, or, you know, people dozing off or whatever it may be. And then, you know, all the stuff I bring to the Eucharist from the week, and all the meetings I've had, and the experiences of heaviness. And it's interesting, the Lord constantly with me is challenging me always during the Eucharist to let go and to see how all those things become redeemed when I put them in the chalice. And God's love for us in the midst of our woundedness as a church, like, God, how could you love... This was the powerful experience for me during the Eucharist this last Sunday. It was like, God, how could you love us in the midst of all this? Like, we don't deserve your love. Like, I don't deserve your love, just knowing my woundedness, and yet you still choose us, and you still redeem us, and you give us this powerful sacrifice of your body and blood, you know. You know, why? And just the power of, you know, I choose you. It's a beautiful, powerful moment for me. Just realizing the transforming power of the Eucharist. Yeah, like through the Eucharist, just the sense of, yeah, I'm with you, and they're mine, and so just give them to me, and I love you, and you're my son, and so it was very, very beautiful. And just being able to be one with his sacrifice, so like, it's kind of like the hopelessness of the cross, like you don't have to let go of the hopelessness, Joseph, Father Joseph. You just have to be with me in the hopelessness of the cross as we offer it to God the Father who redeems the world. He does it, you know.
Joseph, Jesus has left us so many symbols, so many things. We're the ones to get off track, but he never lets go of us, no matter. Yeah. He's a forgiving father,
mm-hmm.
my dad and all that, because... we can't. We think about it, and then we say, "Well, he's not looking. I can continue." But he does.
Yeah.
And the self-examination at night for me helps me a lot.
Good, yeah.
I don't cry in front of my husband. I try not to. But I come to church and I see you and I want to cry and I want to tell you everything, you know. So I sucked away. But it's he left us so many things. That
sure.
They're in the front of you. You just need to reach and feel it. And people come to me and says, oh, Helen, how's your husband? And I know you're crying. But it isn't that. It's that I feel the Lord in me, you know.
Yeah.
And it's there for me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's transition to the last question because I do want to make sure we have a chance to kind of wrap up. And once again, just try and be specific to kind of the way you saw yourself before and then the way you saw yourself afterwards. Because we could get lost in sharing the experiences, which are all very powerful. But once again, we're trying to get those deep truths that we can cling to that are like underneath the experience. You know, what is the truth that I can cling to later on as I look back and say, okay, this was what you were telling me. So what is a way that you saw yourself before as a son or daughter of the church, as once again, a son or daughter of God the Father that has changed over the last 9 months? As you've learned about the sacraments and about how God's trying to love you specifically in each of these ones. It's a very personal question. You know, how have you changed? Uh-huh.
11 o'clock mass, there's a young woman with her little girl, about 6 years old, and she was being very disruptive. And I caught myself saying, okay, Virginia, don't grab her arm, don't take her outside, she's not yours. And I thought, okay, Virginia, you just received Holy Communion. Now, you have to change your attitude here. Just say, God, take care of her and take care of yourself. And I had to just block what was going on in front of me and keep reminding myself, you just received the body of Christ. So you let him deal with that, and you deal with yourself.
Boom. So there it was. Notice before, maybe a struggle in the past of okay, in that moment, and this happens every day in our life, in the moment we feel, once again, the tension of the experience. I'm experiencing, okay, like the disunity of, okay, I can't pray as well. I'm experiencing the confusion. And so my natural response is that I have to change the situation, that it's up to me, it's my responsibility, it shouldn't be this way. But then, like you said, in the moment, recognizing because of the grace of communion, which is the fruit of that is unity. Once again, okay, unity, God comes from you, and so this is your child, not mine. I surrender this child to you. And I rest in you. Communion comes not from the control of this situation, but from you, whom I'm received. So the transition of the truth just in that moment through that experience. And every moment in our life, God is inviting us to do that. As someone cuts me off in traffic, okay, I feel rejected, I feel angry, okay. How do I in that moment, okay, God, how do I release what I'm feeling to you and know that my worth, my identity, my peace comes from you in this moment, not from this person? How do I let them go and forgive them because you love and forgive me in the midst of my stuff? All these truths that are connected to the different realities of the sacraments. Beautiful. Thanks for sharing, Virginia.
Bless them, Father.
There you go. Anyone else want to share? Let's go here and then we'll go here. Yeah.
Real short. It's just awareness. Being aware. Like we're aware about, we don't want to offend anyone. Well, we don't want to offend God either with our attitude or actions, and being more aware and conscious about what we say to others, not to hurt them, even though we don't mean to hurt them, but then ask the Lord to be with me, help me either restrain myself or say the right thing, but you're in control, not us. And that's just an awareness, a constant awareness of myself from 9 months ago to now.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah. An awareness of who you are as a beloved daughter, and then because you know that and are aware of it and are receiving it and abiding in that, awareness to love other people in the moment as who they are, as beloved sons and daughters. Beautiful, huh?
Like her with the communion. So one time, went up for communion, and like you said, we don't give up our seats or scoot over to let people do this or do that. So I come back, and I'm like, where's this lady sitting in my seat here? You know, where'd she come from? She wasn't in that row before. So she kind of just looked at me, and I'm like, and she didn't move over, she just stood at her feet like, come on in. I'm like, well, okay. And I sat down, kneel down and go into the thoughts and everything. I'm thinking, you know, just that communion, I'm thinking, this lady, who is she and why is she taking my seat and getting, you know, offended by it. And I'm like, just that communion, relax. If that was Jesus sitting there, would you have a problem? Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay. So after we left, have a good day, you know, walked away, and it's true. What if it was Jesus that was taking our spot? Or if we're sitting on the end and you're not participating in Eucharist, or, you know, as a minister or something, why not scoot over?
Sure.
I see so many people that they want to get there so they can just sit there. You know? Or they'll leave an open spot and you go to sit and it's kind of full. Oh, that's for my husband. Well, because he's being usher or somebody, you know. It's like, and then you feel silly because you tried to sit there.
Sure.
But yeah, I know. Nobody wants to...
Yeah, so your awareness in the moment of Jesus in this person and with yourself and being able to invite Jesus there. Yeah, it's really interesting. In our whole life, that's what sacramentality is about, is inviting the incarnation of Jesus, Jesus with us, who is particularly present to us in a specific way in each of the seven sacraments. How do we receive them? Of course, when we receive the specific seven sacraments, but then how do we let those truths impact our daily life and those unique moments to... Instead of being defined by what's being done to us, I respond from the truth of who I am in his eyes, and who other people are as beloved sons and daughters, which is underneath their action, which is sometimes very inappropriate or hurtful. How do I not receive the rejection or abandonment or shame that they're pushing on me because I'm abiding in the love of who I am as a beloved son or a beloved daughter? And then, in addition to that, turn back in love, not reacting to the wound, but actually reacting out of the redeemed wound in my own heart to say, I know that you're hurting me, but I'm not that. I'm the Lord's. And because I know I'm that, I'm able to love you there and actually touch the place underneath where you're hurting me, which is really a place where you're hurting me because of your own wound in your life. And so this incredible redeemed cycle of the very wound becomes the very place where I actually minister to the person who's wounding me, which is incredible, through forgiveness, through letting go, and once again, seeing the wounded sinner underneath the sin itself. Yes?
Consciousness, awareness, same path. I think for me, the learning process is important. I used to be stuck in how I felt about everything, and today, in regards to my faith, it's a knowing. Growing into the knowing, the feeling is going to let me down. But consciousness for me, I am a student, and I'll say student, of the exam, because I'm trying to do that. But the nighttime exam is very important, but what I find is to do the exam through the day too, that consciousness, because I wasn't aware of how active God was in my life. I didn't see it. And I mean, even in the hard, cold areas, the dark places, he was active, but I didn't see it. But when I strive for that conscious contact, and I think too, learning again and more about confirmation and understanding gifts and virtues, that again adds to the knowing. And but you have to be open to go in those places that are shadowy and painful and icky sometimes, but that's where I find them.
Amen. So yeah, deep knowing, and because of that, being able to abide with the Lord. Beautiful. Thank you guys for all your responses. These are beautiful ways to reveal how the Lord's worked in your life, and really amongst all of us as a community. I want to kind of, we have about 20 minutes left, I want to kind of transition a little bit and just run through the seven sacraments, kind of remind us of the truths that we've received through these seven sacraments, just to kind of remind us of these things as we kind of conclude. And as I share them, I just invite you to kind of receive what I'm sharing and let it kind of reignite those truths in your heart of who you are through these seven sacraments. And then at the end, we're going to kind of wrap up, and I'm going to kind of give you guys a little bit on just how do we abide in these truths that we've received during these last 9 months. So we start, of course, with baptism, which is the sacrament which heals the wound of rejection in our life. So Adam and Eve's sin, the rejection of God's love through their sin first, which separated them from God. And in doing so, the rejection that comes in our life too, when we rely on ourselves. So when I rely on myself, I naturally push other people away. And God's powerful mystery of even as we try and push Him away, He comes and seeks us. Yeah, He chooses to seek us as we're still pushing Him away. And He's done it for thousands and thousands of years in the Old Testament, the New Testament, up until today. As the world pushes Him away, He says, I still choose you in love. I will never abandon you. My covenant is forever. And this is represented most powerfully through baptism, where we're reclaimed in the midst of rejection, our own sin. We are reclaimed as the adopted son, the adopted daughter. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. It's that foundational identity of being chosen by God, that He loves us that much to choose us. Second, Holy Communion, which heals the wounds of abandonment. So the fact that we live in a world of separation, not only in society, but in our families. And then we talked about, if you remember, even separateness in the church. So division within the church, different groups, different factions, how we don't truly experience the communion alive. That was a reality, especially with the first early Christian communities. And how in the midst of that separation, how do we choose to live a Eucharistic spirituality? How do we choose to live communion in the midst of separation? So how do I choose to push out of the isolation and loneliness in my life and to seek real encounter with people in my life? Just as Jesus seeks that communion, He goes out to seek the lost and the broken and those who are experiencing the separation of the world. And then how do we find that in a place of rest through the Eucharist, which is the place where we all are made one in Him who is our head? Confirmation heals wounds of powerlessness. So we talked about the two wounds of powerlessness in our life, the ways in we experience the misuse of power, so abuse, ways in which people hurt us, you know, physically, mentally, or spiritually, through different woundings in our life. So how power is used against us to hurt us instead of to bless and to protect us. And then the other aspect, a place where someone who should be exercising power to protect us or safeguard us did not use that power. So basically a lack of power. So basically a way in which we experience just kind of an emptiness of the fathering love or the motherly love that we're supposed to experience in our life from our parents, from those who are closest to us, really from God. And so ways in which, in the midst of that powerlessness, how we try and find power in the world, in lots of things, through relationships, through possessions, through our status, ways in which we do that to mask the inadequacy and the powerlessness that's really in the depth of our heart. So to try and answer the questions of our inadequacy or the powerlessness or the wounds that come from other people hurting us from the lack of use of power in the right way, we then seek to answer those questions through exercising power in our own life. You know, when no one was there for me, so I won't rely on anyone else, you know. Or someone hurt me, so I'll never let anyone else get close enough in my life to love me in that way. You know, I'll provide for myself. So seeking that in the world, and then Christ transforming our life in power by the powerlessness of the cross. So He chooses the perfect act of humility, the perfect act of obedience, the perfect act of powerlessness to invite God's power. So He surrenders, trusting that God's power has the power to truly transform the world. So in the midst of abuse, powerlessness, all these things that Jesus encountered during his life, his power has the capacity to transform. So he stands up against the Pharisees and the scribes who are using their power incorrectly for the Jewish people. He stands up against the Romans and their oppression, teaching them, you know, the power of love. He stands up even against the disciples, you know, at times who want to, once again, not serve God's people. So God's power coming from his reliance on God the Father and his trust there that has the power to allow him to do miracles. We talked about holy orders, which heals the wounds of confusion. So because of the misuse of power in the world, we enter into confusion in our life. Because we don't have people protecting and loving us or who directly hurt us, there's this disunity and confusion in the world which we experience. The lack of truth. And because of that, we start doubting God the Father's love for us, his wisdom, his integrity. We lose our capacity to trust him because so often the authority that we're supposed to trust in the world has betrayed us. And so, you know, the supreme authority of our life, why would I trust him when the authority has been shown to hurt me? And then Jesus embodying the truth of order restored in his perfect submission to God the Father. He's constantly obedient to God the Father. And because of his obedience and submittance, he receives dominion and restores all creation to God the Father. So it's not through his own power, you know, of, you know, as the Romans are arresting him to say no and to push them away. No, it's actually submitting to God's plan, taking the cup that he wants to offer and says, Jesus, take this cup away from me, but not my will, but your will be done. His perfect obedience, submitting to the authority of his Father, allows the plan of the Father to restore humanity, bring back the truth that this is the truth of God. And the profound mystery of how God chooses that reality through the church and specifically through broken men, through his priests, through the deacons, to once again live this reality of trying to restore the order in our life, and the mystery of God working in brokenness to do that. And doing it through those who truly bear his image. So in the midst of the brokenness of holy orders, obviously God's truth of who he is isn't being revealed. But like all vocations, there's brokenness there. But when that vocation is lived with truth and vulnerability, and once again, when priests and deacons are relying on God the Father, submitting everything to him, then the grace of their ordination to restore, the sacraments that they offer actually do have that grace to do it. Holy matrimony, which heals wounds of fear. So the very vows of matrimony, I will be faithful to you always. I will be sacrificial, laying down my life for you no matter what, in good times and in bad. And I lay down my life for you, asking for God's fruitfulness to come alive in our relationship as husband and wife, but then also to come alive in our family through children that you give us and in the greater community, being a light of God's love for the world. So that being a direct answer to the fear that we all have that we're going to be abandoned, that we're not worthy of love, that if I trust him and vulnerable, that fruitfulness will come in my life. Marriage being the exact opposite of that. Always having a reminder of that faithful, sacrificial love when that marriage is being lived truly as it's called to be lived. You know, a holy matrimony abiding in God who provides that love, which is represented in the vows that are made, which drives out fear. You know, so I'm going to be received in love because these vows represent the unconditional love of my spouse giving themselves to me and my call to give myself an unconditional love, just like God gives his love to the world unconditionally. We talked about how confession heals wounds of shame. So shame in our life being the thing that causes us to believe that we're inferior beings. So shame being at the heart of the ways in which our identity as beloved sons and daughters is twisted, where we start to see ourselves not as people chosen by God, but people who have to earn God's love, that we're not worthy of love, that we're dirty, that God could never love us. It ultimately drives us to a place of isolation where we close off our hearts to God, to others, and to ourself. And the sacrament of confession being that liberation from this tendency of shame in our life to pull in ourself, to believe we're not worthy of love. The sacrament of confession being God's mercy, which breaks through that and says, I choose you even in the midst of your brokenness. And I choose to do it not just because it's these magic words and then, okay, you better be good until you need to come back and hear the magic words. No, I actually, in my mercy, my mercy is actually incarnational in my life, where I actually desire to journey with you as your intimate friend, as the good shepherd, in mercy, to know and heal you in the midst of your sin and addictions, as I restore your strength there, and love you as you continue to fall. And in knowing that you're loved in the midst of that fall, have courage to seek the true goodness that you're actually seeking in me instead of in this sin. So this sense of being healed from our sin, but also being healed from the deeper places where we don't believe we're beloved sons and daughters, which the shame is pulling out of us. And then last but not least, how anointing of the sick heals wounds of hopelessness. So all of the sacraments having their power in the resurrection, and especially the anointing of the sick, that in the midst of hopelessness, as we face death, as we face suffering, as we face all these things which are a product of sin, which God thinks that God hates, the power of his redemptive suffering, how he comes to be with us in the midst of these things, to show us the truths of who we are and who he is as the good Father who redeems us from suffering and death, so that he's with us, he's going to fortify us in the midst of this with his peace, with his companionship. I'm never going to give you anything that you can't handle. And really, he doesn't even give us the suffering because it's not a product of him. Once again, suffering being a product of sin in the world. So the fact that he's with us in that, showing us that through the cross, that he has the capacity to heal. So praying that possibly, God, you could even heal me from this, because this is the truth of who I am. You know, you want total wholeness, even in my physicality. So you have the possibility to even heal me of this cancer. And do I really believe that? And Lord Jesus, help me to believe that through this sacrament, which speaks that truth. And then finally, to believe in the ultimate truth, which is the fullness of eternal life in you, Lord Jesus, that all things will come to fulfillment in you, and you have a place prepared for me if I have faith in your Son. So this is kind of a review of the sacraments, all the truths that we receive in the midst of the wounds of our life. So to wrap up our time together, I just want you to reflect on where you're at right now at the end of these 9 months. So as our sharings has revealed, God has done a lot in our life. He's created places of new truth, of not only the truth of what the sacraments are, not only the truth of how we see Jesus with us, and not only the truth of how we see ourselves. He's revealed those three things to us. All of those places are places of deep security, where he's maybe pulled up roots of our life where we've believed contrary things, and he's put down new roots of truth that he wants us to live from and draw water from each day of our life. Those roots have to grow in our life. So whenever we receive new truth, we have to ask God that he would help those things to grow. So we go from a place of new truth or a place of new security to a place of, God, help me to mature in this. So help me to live out of these truths in my life. Help me to choose the truth. And in moments of difficulty where I'm feeling the wounds again of my past life, how do I transition in the moment to choose the good? Like Virginia was saying, how do I in this moment choose the reality of the Holy Communion that I've received? You know, in the midst of these experiences of hopelessness, how do I abide in your truth here? So how do I let that grow into maturity to where it becomes a place of just natural purity? I'm just abiding in that truth perpetually, all the time, like the saints. So notice how the evil one wants to pull up these roots. So maybe the roots that were down before that God has pulled up of the false ways in which we've seen ourselves, we've seen each other, we've seen the sacraments. There's still kind of that vacant spot in our hearts where the roots have been pulled up. And the evil one has many years where we've probably been living out of those lies and wounds. And so it's very easy over time, especially in moments of desolation, for the evil one to pull us back to the wounds. So to pull us back to the false ways in which we see ourselves. So as we finish this class, be aware of that in your life. And be aware of ways in which, okay, I'm starting to think and feel that numbness and that pain of the way in which I was functioning before. Okay, what is the truth, Jesus, that I received before that you want me to live in now, that drives away the old roots that I had and helps me to mature in the newness of life that you've spoken to my heart? Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John, if you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So abiding in that truth in our life. Also, healing is not just for ourselves. So kind of what I was saying earlier, we've all received these graces. Part of maturity is taking the healing that we've individually received and allowing it to become a visible reality in our families, in our vocations, and in our church. Because if it doesn't become a visible reality, it just becomes something that serves ourselves, and it actually oftentimes reinforces lies. You know, so a gift that's not re-given actually ceases to be a gift. It's very interesting, the love of God's life. And it's interesting, as we constantly give the gifts that we've received in our life by sharing how God's transforming us, by allowing the sacraments to constantly allow us to live in those truths in our life, we actually mature in the truths and they actually grow and grow because I'm constantly living them out in my life. They're not just truths I've received here. You know, they're lived out and they're being received in people who acknowledge them and are living those truths as well. So our healing, which blesses others and then allows them to start seeing the truths in their life and them to heal. Last thing I want to say is, it's interesting, in this class as we've been talking about some of the lies that are connected with each of these wounds in our life. And it may be interesting to just take a moment to think about what are the lies, as we conclude this class, that might be in your heart right now. It's interesting how the evil one works. Even as we're concluding something beautiful in my life, he's already starting to lay the seeds for later on. So at the end of this class, I know every time I kind of finish a class like this, I kind of sense it, but as we're finishing the last class, do you feel this sense of like, oh man, the class is over now, and now I'm going to be alone. Like, now I have to do it on my own. Or, so this is it. So God, this is all God had for me, you know. Or, wow, Father Joseph's not going to teach a class again, and I have to wait till he does that again because, you know, I can't do this alone, and he has the secret formula, you know. So those are maybe some lies of which the evil one wants to speak into our hearts right now, that this is the end, it can't continue, or this was great, or possibly even, wow, Father Joseph, all this stuff was stirred up in my life, and now I feel caught in the messiness, and I almost feel worse than I started out. That's a lie, you know. Okay, what is what God wanting to speak his truth there? Okay, I love you in your messiness, and I'm about good things, and as these things come up, you know, I'm wanting to redeem them, and that's a good thing, and you have support around you to do that, and I'm loving you. I'm never going to abandon you. You know, Father Joseph's always there. This beautiful community is always here to love you. So these are the things that might be in our heart as we conclude the class. And then finally, how do we confront those things and use the tools that we already have here at St. Helens and in our own life to mature in these truths? First, of course, is the sacraments, because the class was on the sacraments. So frequenting the sacraments here, asking God to help me to continue to engage in them through, you know, the Eucharist, maybe going to daily Mass more, maybe intentionally taking time on the weekend Mass to really engage the sacraments, so praying beforehand, really bringing petitions to the Lord, taking time after Mass to soak in the graces that I've received, so being intentional about the sacraments in my life, praying about what I received during the Mass afterward. So the sacrament, second one, prayer, continuing to delve into these depths of the things that God has revealed in your personal prayer, being vulnerable with him there, speaking that desire of the truth that you desire to live in, you know. Next is continuing to study and seek out these truths. We have many classes here, so next week, Father Will and Russ are going to start their five disciplines of a joyful disciple, which is kind of related to this. Once again, how do we live healing in our life as a joyful disciple? That's going to start next week. It's going to be at the same time, 10 a.m., every Tuesday next week. So you could come next Tuesday. It's going to be in the same time, at the same time and same place here, in this room, actually, starting next week. Other amazing classes we have here. Also, being willing to have people in our life who are going to support us in the truths that we've received. So a small group, if you're not a part of a small group, we have small groups here. You can reach out to Russ and ask to be part of one. If you're already part of a small faith-sharing community, starting to share these truths that you've received and allow it to bless other people in your small group and receive support there as you share this new depth of who you see yourself as in God the Father's eyes in a new way. So all these ways are ways in which we engage the healing that God's given us and start to allow it to be lived out in our life as we go forward. Good. Finally, the last tool is I'm going to put here on the counter. You can pick it up as you leave. If you remember, at the end of each of the handouts, there was a bottom part that had a prayer that you could pray that helped with each wound that we receive. So if you remember, for like Holy Communion, the wound is abandonment. So there was a prayer at the bottom of that handout when we did Holy Communion about renouncing abandonment in our life and claiming the truth of God's communal love. So I'm going to give you guys a sheet you can take when you leave. This has all the seven prayers that you've received during the classes. So you got them all here. So you can put it on your nightstand. You can put it in your pocket. I have it on my phone. I took a picture of it. And in the midst of really feeling really shameful or feeling really powerless, a lot of time I'll pull that out and just pray that prayer in the moment. Or if I'm going through a rough time in my life, like right now the Lord is working with me on kind of powerlessness a little bit. And Him wanting to create greater power in my life and how that's connected to hopelessness a little bit and abandonment in my life. So I've been trying to pray a lot lately that prayer on powerlessness, to renounce the fact that I don't have power, and but in God I do, and to believe that, and it's been a regular part. So God's building that up in my life. So that's how I use the tool. So it's a great tool to use in your life, and share it with others if you think they might be helpful. Yeah, you're welcome.
Just don't go mountain climbing this year.
And then finally, I want to ask for your guys' prayers. Next month, I start a talk series, basically the exact same talk series, but I'm going to be doing it for our Spanish-speaking parishioners. So it's an opportunity to offer that to them and have healing in their life. Of course, it's a place of powerlessness for me because, or fears around that, because Spanish is not my first language, and I'm be talking about very deep stuff and personal stuff, trying to tell stories in a language that's not my own. So I would appreciate your prayers for that as I start next month with them, and for real healing in our Spanish-speaking parishioners as well, that we could truly be one as a parish. Know that I'm always here for you. Father Will is, our staff, and last but not least, the most important, you guys are here for each other. So just encourage you guys in that. So we give thanks for this time together. All that God's blessed us with, all the truths, all of the deeper senses of who we truly are as His beloved sons and daughters, and the power of the sacrament. So let's offer all these things to the Lord in a concluding prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, I come before You today and lift up my life as Your priest, as Your beloved son. I give You thanks for these last months of being able to journey with Your children, my flock, and just inviting You to reveal to us the truth of who we are through the power of the sacraments, the healing power that redeems us, the ways in which You most truly reveal who You are as our loving Savior and the truth of our loving Father, and in so doing, reveal who we are to ourselves. Lift up all of us today, offering in gratitude and in appreciation all the truths that You've spoken to each of our hearts, the transformation You've done there, the deeper ways in which You're calling us to Yourself. I ask for a blessing over all of us, for You to seal those places of healing in our hearts, seal them against the evil one and his temptations and his lies. We ask for these places to be places of refuge in the midst of our life, to come back to grow in the truths of who we are, the power of Your love, the grace of Your sacraments alive in our life, redeeming the worlds, redeeming our families, redeeming our spouses, redeeming our parishes. Ask in a particular way that You would give us courage to continue to lean into this healing in our life and to share it with the worlds. Also ask for the grace of just Your spirit of hope as You minister to each of us as we mature in Your healing. Thank You for the gift of Your love. Heavenly Father, we offer all of these things in thanksgiving and in blessing to You as we pray Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.